And we are talking right now, and I think we're going big when it comes to active managers these days. You know, it's tougher and tougher to find folks where you go, here's a guy who's building a name brand with a great track record. But I think you can say that about the guy we're talking to today. His name is Andrew Foster. He's founder and chief investment officer at Seafarer Capital Partners. He's the lead manager for the Seafarer Overseas Growth and Income Fund, SFGIX, and he is the co-manager of the new Seafarer Overseas Value Fund. That's SFVLX, which just opened in May. We're going to talk a little bit about the new fund, about value investing in emerging markets in general, and more. But if you want to learn more about Andrew, the firm, or the funds, go to seafarerfunds.com. Andrew Foster, welcome back to Money Life.
It's my great pleasure to join again, Chuck. Thanks.
I have to start by sort of getting the newsy side of things out of the way, which means I have to sort of ask first for a quick take on emerging markets. I want to get into the side that says, hey, wait, the opening a value fund in emerging markets at this time, really interesting about the timing and the concepts. But first, your assessment of what's happening in emerging markets and where they stand right now.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of your audience has watched the markets year to date and has seen a little bit of a recovery in performance of emerging market equities and bonds, and I think it's been nice for us to enjoy at Seafarer, which we've had, you know, 4 or 5 years that have been pretty lean in the markets and tough going. You know, what's really happening here is two things. I have to report some bad news, which I think we talked about on our last call, which is that the fundamentals in the emerging markets are still not very strong. Earnings growth is weak, and a lot of companies are struggling out there to produce much in the way of growth, which, you know, a lot of folks turn to the emerging markets for growth. So that's a disappointment, and unfortunately, that hasn't ended yet. But the flip side of it is that valuations have been pretty low. They haven't really carved out much room for prospective growth. And the thing is, I think the markets are beginning to maybe sniff the potential for a turnaround, a reacceleration in growth. And that's gotten stock markets pretty excited in the short run. And that's being fueled further by the fact that, for better or for worse, the central banks of the emerging markets in this low growth environment are generally cutting interest rates, not raising them. And that goes against the grain of the U.S. Fed, maybe. Your guess is good as mine about what the Fed does next, but the Fed is supposedly raising rates, and the central banks of the emerging markets are generally cutting rates. And that divergence is, first of all, something I've never seen before, but that background might help the recovery and growth in emerging markets, this sort of easier monetary environment, lower interest rates. And that, again, is, I think, fueling this rise in shares. So we have this kind of dichotomy between weak underlying fundamental conditions, but also low valuations and forgiving interest rate conditions.
Now I want to talk a little bit about the opening of the value fund, but also some of the decision-making process that goes into it. Because although the original fund is Seafarer Growth and Income, I don't think a lot of folks who are at the level of my audience, who are certainly above average investors, when they thought about, let's get an asset allocation to emerging markets, I don't think they were thinking, let's go with some growth and let's go with some value and let's do the rest of this. I think they were saying, let's go find a manager who says, wait, I'll put you in emerging markets and I'll get you through this one way or the other. For you, why the need to open the new fund, and how much different is it saying I'm looking for value versus I'm looking for growth and income?
Well, yes, this new fund that we've launched is definitely a passion project, and I think you're absolutely right. A lot of folks, when they think about emerging markets, to the extent they think about them at all, they probably think first, a lot of risk and volatility, and a lot of strange companies that folks haven't heard of as much before. And then B, they think, to the extent I want to invest there, I'm investing for growth to add some real beta, some upside to my portfolio, or at least perspective, when those markets are performing, at least. So it's kind of a strange thing to be talking about value investing. But if you were to look at the landscape of funds out there that have been working in the emerging markets for the last 15, 20 years, a lot of them are centered around a concept of growth or quality growth, maybe. And value investing really hasn't had much purchase in the emerging markets, and I would argue that's because of their state of development. For value investing to work, you have to have cheap stocks, hopefully, but also you've got to have a background where a patient investor can unlock value from a company, and the company, you know, probably has that value sitting on its balance sheet. Maybe it's sitting on a huge pile of cash that it's not doing much with or what have you. But the really important thing is the value investor has to have enough rights, shareholder rights at the table, legal rights, governance rights, structural rights, to get some leverage, to get some of that cash off their balance sheet and into their pocket. Or there are other things that might happen as well to unlock the value, but that's an example. And I would say in the past, the emerging markets really haven't been developed enough to accommodate a strategy where that was the case, because even if you're a patient, hopefully smart investor looking for cheap shares, the chances that you would maybe get your position damaged by an abusive practice by the company was much higher in the past. But the thing is, things have changed. I'm not saying it's lollipops and marshmallows in the emerging markets, but I would say that you know, companies are much better run, governance standards are higher, accounting standards are higher, transparency is much improved. And you're starting to see some real shifts in the landscape, which I can describe a little more about. But in a nutshell, these shifts in the landscape are meaning that people are paying more attention to unlocking value on the balance sheet. And some really interesting stuff is beginning to happen in the landscape. The growth's not high, and so people are paying more attention to squeezing more from what they've got versus hoping for future growth.
Can you make it that you ultimately are applying, you know, when we talk about a value fund, you know, value for most people, they're thinking about Benjamin Graham and David.
Do with it or what they want to do with it, should they take control, is not certain at this juncture.
Does that work in emerging markets? Can you say, okay, I want to apply the classic value investing tenets and have it work out in emerging markets?
I can't prove it, Chuck, but I think so. I think we're at the I honestly and sincerely think we're at the dawn of a change in the emerging markets. And when I say the dawn, I'm talking about a 20-year horizon here. I'm not talking about what's going to work in the next 12 months. I'm talking about structural changes, though, that I think we're just starting to hit the emerging markets. We're having a huge, for instance, in China right now, we're having a huge and contested battle for control of a company, a hostile takeover attempt, that it's very similar to what KKR and RJR and Nabisco went through in the 80s. And, you know, so basically we have some hostile raiders trying to take control of a company that they think is too cheap based on its balance sheet value, what they're going to spend bonds. But you know what? I've never seen this sort of stuff before. It's starting because there's some changes happening in the background with, again, better accounting standards. People know what they're buying more. And folks are able to make, in this case, maybe a leveraged style buyout to try and take control of a company, maybe break it up and therefore realize more value in the process. This is really new. We're in the first inning here, maybe the top of the first inning. But I think there's some changes taking place that suggest that a strategy like this could work more. The company I refer to, by the way, is called Vanke or Vanke, V-A-N-K-E. And it's not a stock we hold or invest in, but it's a very interesting story, and I encourage your readers to look into it.
We're almost out of time here, but when it comes to what you're seeing for emerging markets right now, what to you is the big threat? Is it what's happening with interest rates? Is it political unrest? What's the thing that you think people right now should be most wary of?
Well, the two big things are the markets rallied a lot. Valuations are not, they're off their sort of low floor now. And like I said, the growth is still, I think there are reasons to believe the growth could be turning a corner. But man, that's speculative when I say that. It's really still, slow growth out there right now. And so I think people need to be cautious about approaching shares when there isn't much evidence of a turn yet. But you know, markets turn sometimes before the evidence is in. That's just the way it is, unfortunately. The second thing I would say is China. I mean, China is such an important market for the world, economically speaking, and it's also an important stock market that sets a lot of the tone for the rest of the emerging markets, if you will. And China is still under some very stressed economic and financial conditions. And those conditions are kind of probably about as opaque as I've seen them in the last almost 20 years I've been in the business. So I think people have to be very careful about watching liquidity conditions in China and make sure that there aren't any disruptions in that market that could spill over and hurt other emerging markets. That's an unknown that I'm grappling with, and I'd say those are the two things to pay attention to.
Well, Andrew, I think my audience is well advised to pay attention to the things that you're talking about. I hope we get a chance to chat with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Great. Thanks, Chuck.
Andrew Foster is the founder and chief investment officer at Seafarer Capital Partners. He's the lead manager for the Seafarer Overseas Growth and Income Fund. He's co-manager of the new Seafarer Overseas Value Fund. For more information, go to seafarerfunds.com.